It was a name that came recommended by our manager in 1965. We were a surfing band playing at a club called The Crossfires. And we recorded three songs for a new label that had no name at the time. And our manager recommended a name change to coincide with the release of our first record. And he recommended The Turtles. We had come up with about three other names, but he thought Turtles would be mistakenly thought of as an English band. And at the time, in 1965, there was so much English music that it seemed like a good way to get airplay on the radio would be to be, you know, even anything that would help. And he thought maybe with the Turtles, people would think that we were from England. And at the time, it seemed like a good way to go. Found it on a Bob Dylan album, Blowing in the Wind album, and we were messing around with bird songs at the time, Bells of Rimney and Tambourine Man and so forth, so we were aware of Bob Dylan, and It Ain't Me Babe is one of three songs we recorded at the age of 17, and 1 week after it's recorded and being released, it was top 10 in Los Angeles.
Should I ask, were you surprised?
Yes, we were. Of course, surprised. I mean, we never thought that there was a hit amongst the three songs that we even did, so let alone the fact that one of them would become a national top five record. Well, Happy Together came at a very frustrating time in the Turtles' career. We had had three hit records with the band, and we reached a point where the band wasn't really getting along very well, and we were having hits and managerial problems. A lot of things were really happening. We lost two members of our band, and the band was in a real flux, kind of a transition period, and we were offered this song, Happy Together. It sounded absolutely horrible. It was a little cassette version of it with a guy singing with a guitar and pounding on his leg.
Was this the guy that wrote it?
Yeah, it was written by two guys from New York City who we had worked with in New York with their band, a band called The Magicians. And the guys' names were Alan Gordon and Gary Bonner, and they were the guitarist and drummer with the band, and they kept saying, well, we've got some good songs that you guys would probably like, and we kept saying, you know, send them to us, and we'll take a listen, and Happy Together happened to be one of the cassettes they sent to us, and again, we played the song for about 8 months. We arranged it and rearranged it about four or five different times, and took it out on the road for about 6 or 8 months, and played it out on the road, and had a real good indication it was going to succeed. Never in our wildest dreams could we have imagined it would have the success that it did, but it was a record, probably the only one of all the Turtle records we ever made that we had any feeling that it could be a hit. I mean, I think everything we made was like, we were so young at the time, and the band was broke up by the time we were 22 years old. We never really made records that we were sure were going to be hits, and I think if any one of those records fought that law, I think that Happy Together did. We honestly felt it was a hit record. We never imagined how big. But You'd Rather Be With Me was another Gary Bonner and Alan Gordon song. We again were right in a roll. After Happy Together, which was number one and sold way over 2 or 3 million copies, we were in pursuit of a follow-up, and She'd Rather Be With Me, Gary and Alan wrote for us. It has some catchy concepts, She'd Rather Be With Me, much like Happy Together, if you listen lyrically to the idea that Happy Together was always a dream anyway, and not many people ever take into consideration the opening word in the song sets it up pretty much. Imagine me and you. It never really happened, that song. They never really got together, those people in that song. It was always some guy looking at some girl across the room and having this fantasy about him being with the best girl at the place, and imagine, and then he gets caught up in it, and he looks at her and says, I can't see me loving nobody but you. She's my girl, and that's where I was. She's my girl was another fantasy. It was another morning glory. Would you like to know where was I last night? I saw a girl with a boy in her eye, and she's so out of sight. She's my girl, and that's where I was last night. She's my girl was the conscious effort of a bunch of psychedelic children coming to grips with the fact that they were finally willing to admit that there was a love affair. I think She's My Girl lyrically finally strips away all of the fantasy, takes away all the imagination, it takes away all the cuteness, and it was the first song that finally turned around and said to the girl, and let everybody know, she's my girl, and that's where I was last night. It was a statement of love. Eleanor was written basically as a in response to the record company harping on us to come up with a hit record. It had been quite a while in between hits, about a year or so, and the record company was fairly desperate for a hit record, and they kept hounding the Turtles to come up with another Happy Together. And so out of spite for the record company, we wrote a song that was basically a tongue-in-cheek look at the type of song that the Turtles would record if the Turtles ever made another hit.
I.e.
Yeah, it's the...
Was this the one that had et cetera?
Yeah, it actually, the original term, the original lyric was, Eleanor, gee, I think you're swell, I think you're fab and gear, et cetera. And we changed it to pride and joy, et cetera, so it wouldn't be such a sign of the times, fab and gear being pretty much the response of the English invasion at the time. A mistake. When we got the song offered to us, it was played to us on a pump organ by our producer at the time, Chip Douglas, and the pump organ he played the song on was broken, and he couldn't play the song at the tempo that he remembered the song at. It was much more of an upbeat tempo, much kind of like a Beatles song. You showed me how to do exactly what to... Whoa, 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 it's true. Dun, 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 kind of really upbeat. And when he played it for us in the afternoon one day, the bellows on this organ were broken, so he couldn't pump the organ fast enough, and so everything came out, you showed me how to... And we thought that was just beautiful. I mean, the way it sounded. One of the main instruments on the record that eventually became a top 10 record in America was a pump organ. We actually took the sound that we had heard in this little room the day at his house, and we translated it over to record as close as we could to the sounds of the pump organ. And we never really thought it was going to be a hit record. It was a little too far-fetched to think that a Turtles could have a ballad. Probably She's My Girl. I always enjoyed working on... I mean, they're all favorites. The ones that sell, of course, are going to have a financial favorite. You know, I mean, Happy Together is probably the one that, you know, made our career and life is, you know, as much work as it's been. And all of the records were fun to make, but She's My Girl was probably a record that we spent one of the most amount of time making, and it was one of my favorites. The background parts are full of a lot of backward stuff, and it's a pretty psychedelic record, and it was a lot of fun to be a part of. There were at least two records I can think of. Probably Story of Rock and Roll was one that we were sure was a hit record that didn't work, and another record called You Don't Have to Walk in the Rain, produced by Ray Davies of the Kinks, that we all thought was going to be a hit record.
And Story of Rock and Roll, why did you think it would be a hit?
Well, I just thought lyrically what was being said in the record would work for the radio. I thought disc jockeys would like to play something that talked about all the cities, and it started out way down south, took a left turn. It had some cute twists in the lyrics about rock and roll. It had a great beat. It had a good sax solo. It was a well-produced record, and I thought that we would get some national exposure on, but it only happened regionally in parts of the country and never really broke for us, and that was kind of a surprise.